I don't know about Groundhog Day here because we're an awful long way from Pennsylvania and everything. I think on next month, on the 9th, I'm just going to put my cat out on the back porch and see if he sees a shadow or not, and it'll scare him probably. But I want to thank everybody for being here. This is a great time to get involved in prisoner reentry. This is something that might be very strange and new to most of you. But I've been noticing lately in the Wall Street Journal, in this week's issue of Bloomberg Business Magazine, they've got an article on prisoner reentry and how difficult it is to get jobs and to get reintegrated into society even after a short time in jail, let alone 15 or 20 years in prison, which is a whole nother set of problems. But Patty and I are chaplain's aides at the Mecklenburg County Jail Central on 4th and McDowell. And it's like a small city in itself. There's 1,500 or more inmates there on six floors. So it's quite an institution in its own right, just trying to navigate through that. So what we want to do here, we'll start out with just a showing of the video so you get an idea what this is about, and then Patty's going to come up and talk for a while too on some of the things that she does with the women in the jail. So with that said, let me just kind of get the video going here. A lot of you might already have met David Johnson. I think he's been around here in the church for a while, and he did an excellent job on it. But it kind of explains some of the difficulties that there are when people are getting out of jail and prison, that it changes their life substantially. And what they're after is trying to get the community as a whole in Charlotte to take a second look at some of these people. Patty and I got started in this a while back. We had the opportunity to go to Chattanooga to the New City Fellowship, which was pastored by Randy Neighbors of PCA Church there in Chattanooga. They were having a Mercy Ministry conference, and it was we were going there representing Christ Covenant, and I think we were the only ones attending from Christ Covenant at that time. And we had an opportunity to meet Mark Casson, who is the director of Metanoia Ministries. And he had a two-day breakout session at the conference there that we attended. And it touched our heart quite a bit. And we came back and we got involved in this Metanoia prison ministry where we're actually grading Bible study courses for prisons. I have an inmate in Oklahoma, and Patty's got one in Texas. And no, it's in Iowa that mine is. But anyways, we've been doing this for several years, and we're developing a relationship with these people. And it's like mentoring by correspondence, and we're writing letters and doing things. So that kind of got us started. And then Patty was involved in Change Choices Ministry, which was reentry for women getting out of jail and prison. And we, through them, got involved in being chaplain's aides at the Mecklenburg County Jail. And so we spend some time at the central jail, and Patty does some Bible studies in the morning in a couple of the women's pods, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. And the jail is a little bit different than the prison, and because of the fact that there's a lot of turnover. People are waiting trial or getting sentenced or moved on or whatever. So it's hard to do a systematic Bible study and for a long term, because you never know who's going to be there from week to week. But it's proven quite interesting, and we enjoy it, and it's been a real blessing for us and a eye-opening experience for us on all of these people that are there. And some of you might be familiar with Metanoia. I know some of you, like Tom, you're involved in doing nightly Wednesday night Bible studies at the jail. There's a number of people from Christ Covenant that go in every Wednesday night, and we've got three pods now, and we go in there and minister to men in the jail. And we also, on infrequent basis, we go in and have some Bible study for women as well on Wednesday night. But in the meantime here, I want to bring Patty up to, she can explain a little bit about what she does in the jail, what goes on in the Bible studies, and, which is very enlightening for, I think, for all of you, is the living conditions and the things that go on in the jail. So, Patty?
Well, good morning. We have been here for about 6 weeks, and there's a lot of new faces in here, so more names to remember, right? Monique in the video said, when somebody else believes in you, then it helps me to believe that I can make something of myself. So people who are incarcerated and experiencing reentry, it's so important to have that one-on-one touch from someone else, because they feel like they don't matter to anybody. So they need us. You know what it's like for you when you've been depressed, or you've moved into a new city, or how important it was to have someone reach out and befriend you, made all the difference in the world. Luke 6:35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Boy, I'll tell you, that last part of that verse popped out at me one day, that God is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. You know, I've been ungrateful and I've been evil. And we think of people in prison as being, definitely as being evil and ungrateful. But you know, God was good to me. He saved me. And that we owe that to others, to give them the gospel and treat them kindly, no matter what they've done. Actually, they've been caught, but you haven't. So we've all done stuff we probably could have been put in jail for, especially when we were younger. But we didn't get caught. They did. People who are returning from jail, they've usually burned their bridges with their families. Their families have up to here with them. And so they no longer communicate with them. Many families, a lot of men and women get divorced. Their spouse, who's on the outside, will divorce the one who's on the inside. And mom and dad don't communicate anymore. Children don't communicate anymore. So when they're released, they need a place to stay. They need transportation. They don't have a car. They need help finding a job. They don't know how to do a resume. There's a place in town which does help with that. It's called Transitions Network. It's part of Transitions Network, and they do help people coming out of jail and prison with resumes and job. They send them on job interviews. They don't have a driver's license, so they've got to have someone take them down and get a driver's license. They have trouble getting a bank account. There's a lot of banks that will not give an ex-inmate or ex-prisoner an account, something I didn't know till just recently. Clothing. Most of them have no clothing, just what they come out of jail or prison with. They need help getting food stamps and a free cell phone. They need mentors. They need support groups. People who come out of prison and jail, They usually have some sort of addiction, some sort of problems that they need help with so they can get beyond that and have a better life now that they're out. And they need help with that. They need that one-on-one fellowship and mentoring, a one-on-one mentor. Someone who can encourage them is important. So as Jim said, I deal with women at Mecklenburg County Jail. Another lady and I do a couple of Bible studies on Tuesdays. We go in every Tuesday. There's a Bible study in the morning we do for a couple of pods, and a Bible study in the afternoon. And when we say pod, what a pod is a group of 50 cells. And there's a huge room, bigger than this, much bigger than this. And around the outside of that room are cells, single cells. Each woman has a single cell. And also within this great big room, there are tables and stools. They're attached to the floor, and they're made out of steel, so that you can't move them around. They also have a television, not anywhere near as big as this screen. They have three shower stalls for 50 women. How would you like to share three shower stalls with 50 other women? They also have three commodes. And they dish out the toilet paper to you. You don't just get a roll of toilet paper. They give you a few sheets. And depending on the mood of the officer of the day and you need more, they may or may not give it to you. Towels for showering. They have brown paper that they use to towel off with. So when the ladies first get arrested, and men, they take everything from you. You are stripped down to nothing. And they put on an orange jumpsuit. And you're taken to a cell. And in order for you to get socks and underwear, you have to fill out a form. So you have to ask the officer for a form. And right on there, I need socks and underwear. And sometimes that form goes to the wrong place. So you're a week or two without socks and underwear until you figure out the right place to direct that. It's a very humbling, very, very hard and dehumanizing situation. A lot of these women have never been to jail before. They got hooked up with the wrong man, like Monique. Got hooked up with the wrong man. Got pulled in on a drug bust. And here they are in jail with nothing. So I've got some letters I'd like to read from some ladies that have been in our classes. And these letters are not about me. These letters are about how important it is to encourage and touch another life. The first one I'm going to read is was an email from Ann. Ann Moore is the other lady that does this with me. She attends Redeemer PCA Church in Monroe. There was one Tuesday I couldn't go to the Bible study class, and so she sent me an email telling me what went on in the class that day. And our morning class, we pull from two pods, two women's pods. We go down the hall, and we're in a small little room that's probably, oh, I don't know, a fourth of the size of this room or less. We probably have about 12 women that come in there, anywhere from about 2 or 3 women to 12 women will show up on any given Tuesday, and they have signed up for our class. So we're not just drawing from the population in a pod, helter-skelter. These are people who've signed up who want to come, people who are interested in studying the Bible, who've had probably Bible experience or Christian home or some grandmother or somebody who's talked to them about the Bible and about the Lord. So Anne wrote to me and she said, "It was a very good day. The morning class was attended by Ashley and, wonder of wonders, patience. Come to find out, she had been battling feelings of anxiety and fear associated with her upcoming court date and hasn't gotten out of bed all these past Tuesdays. And today the lesson was on emotions. Isn't God good? She got out of bed and came to class today. After half of the lesson time, I asked her if she felt any better, and you could see it in her face. She was focusing her thoughts on God more and was moving out of her downtime. Wish I could have talked with her more, but God knows her heart and mind and can use the study to take her just where he wants her. I went to see Tina. She's still in pod 4600. After our classes, we can go to various pods and call for a certain girl to come out. So if we're concerned about somebody after the class, we can go and follow up, which is what was happening here. She says she's doing well, but broke down when talking about her mom over Christmas and her dad with cancer. I didn't have time to send her the lesson as I told her I would, thinking of going back to do just that. I also recruited in 45 and 4700 pods, and Pam signed up, as well as about 12 others, I think. Pam had quit coming to our classes, and so we went to see her a couple of times, and now, as Ann was going in to recruit, she signed up again. And we go in and to a pod because it is a transient community. And our numbers go down. We go back into a pod after lunch, and we have a sign-up sheet, and the officer announces that we're there to sign up for our Bible study class in the morning. And so women will come up to our little, we set it out on a table, and so women will come up to our table who want to sign up to come. And we can talk to them about what we'll be studying. She says the afternoon class was also good. There were six girls there. Raven came back. Amber was able to be there and will return next week. She came in and asked me to pray with her beforehand, too, about her upcoming court date. Felt like things went well. Enjoyed singing. All spoke up during the study. Amens during prayer, during which they all held hands, which I didn't see till the end of the prayer. They don't like the inmates to touch each other, and we're not supposed to touch them either. So, but, you know, there are just times when you got to hug them. And there are times that they all felt they needed to hold hands. One thing we don't do, though, is pray with our eyes closed. We pray with our eyes open. Something they train you to do. That's something I should mention, too. You don't go into the jail or a prison without having gone through their training. They do an excellent job of training you about the do's and don'ts and etc. Let me just read another letter here from a lady that came to our class briefly. She was arrested, had never been arrested before in her life. It was something she had done several years ago, and the warrant was still on the books. She ran out of gas on 485. A policeman stopped to help her. He ran her license. The warrant was there for her arrest, and he took her right then. Mm-hmm. And there was a person with her in the car, and he took her car, and he later wrecked her car. Mm-hmm. So when she got out, she had no car. She said, "Thank you for being here in this jail while I've been incarcerated. You and Mrs. Moore have been such a blessing to me. I was so lost, and if it weren't for the two of you reminding me," "that God will be here for me through whatever I go through in life, I think I might have ended up in the mental ward. I feel very different now, but it's in a good way. The fact that my own family has not contacted me really hurt me, but it also showed me that I can handle anything with God's help. Thank you for speaking to Pastor Jones for me. I will call him when I get out to ask for directions to the church. And as soon as I get a job and a car, I will come to your church and visit you and Mrs. Moore. I'll keep both of you in my prayers. Please pray for me. This young woman, Kelly, I just so happened I ran into Brent Jones, who is a pastor of Mercy Ministries for a PCA church in Concord. And that's where, Concord is where she lived. So I gave him her name, and by golly, if she didn't contact, I gave her his name and the church, I'll be darned if she didn't contact him. A lot of times they just kind of don't do that, but she did. I heard from him about 2 weeks ago, so he was getting ready to go visit her. Here's one more. Dear ladies, I met the two of you both very briefly this morning in Pod 4500. My name is Mary Ann. You came as an answer to a serious dilemma I'm having, and I want you both to know I thank you greatly. I explained in general, I've been a Wiccan for almost 20 years. I am now 42. I feel as though others in my circle of beliefs have abandoned me again. But I have never seen a Christian believer walk away from someone in need. I am not even a Christian, and look how the two of you opened up to offer me Bible lessons. And I believe it was you all that gave me this Bible, sent today also. Thank you both. We are able to send them Bibles. She is one of the ones who came up and signed up in the pod at our sign-up time, and we asked her if she had a Bible, and she said no, so we went back to the chaplain's office and made sure she got one. She says, I think I'm on the right path here, and I look forward to meeting you both again. Thank you for not being afraid of me, because I was a witch. I am still a person, and thank you both for making me feel welcome to your group. I look forward to Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. And she did show up, and she came for 3 weeks. We met with her privately in the pod three different times. We prayed with her. I feel like she turned her life over to the Lord. She abandoned her Wiccan beliefs and wanted the Lord to come into her life. I wish we'd have had more time with her, but you know, you hate to have her stay in jail just so you can have more time with her. I have one other little quote here to read, and this is from a lady who I do Metanoia with. And as Jim mentioned, Metanoia is the Bible study correspondence course that the PCA Church does. It's a PCA Church ministry. And several of you are signed up for that in here. Who all is doing Metanoia right now in here?
My husband is.
Susan and...
My husband.
And your husband is. Well, my goodness, we need to get some more sign-ups for this, don't we? I need to bring a sign-up sheet. You guys can sign up for this. It's very simple. You just fill out a form and have Bernie Lawrence or one of the pastors sign it, and they will send you all the instructions on how to, and you get an answer key on how to grade these inmates' Bible studies, and you write a little letter and you send it back to them, and all they ever know about you is your first name. It all goes through Metanoia. Do you ever feel threatened, Diane, by Metanoia? No.
In fact, the fella that Bob exchanges with things come rapidly because he's so into doing the lesson, because he gets a certificate at the end of a certain time, and then I think he gets a Bible.
Yes, they do.
So that they have something to work toward.
Yeah. It's very rewarding for them. A lot of them, like I said, their families have cut them off. You're probably the only person that are communicating with them, encouraging them. My lady said, I just wanted to let you know that you give me such great joy. I wanted you to know that you have been a great impact in my life. It's like when I hear from you, there's this big weight off my heart, which is heavy most of the time. I've grown to care a lot about you like a sister and best friend, and I pray for you every morning as my family. Thank you so much for being in my life. you're appreciated more than you know. And like I say, it's not about me. It's, this just shows how important it is to touch a life. Just encourage another person. We heard about Second Helping on there. That's part of the Change Choices Ministry. They hire women who have been imprisoned or come out of jail. And they, all the people that work at Second Helping are ex-inmates. And they're all ladies. And they are really good cooks. Jim and I have had their meals, and they're very good. It's a takeout thing. Yes?
I just want to make a comment. We had our Bible study on Thursday morning at luncheon, and we called them to do the Second Helping, and they came and delivered lunch at Barb Spencer's house for us all, and it was wonderful.
Yep. Yep. So I have a few of those menus here. If anybody wants to order, I have a few catering menus and another menu. So it's very, all of these get off your donkey things. The main point is to stir your heart and mind to ask the Lord, where do you want me to serve? Whose heart, what family can I touch? Who do you want to use me to touch? Because that's what it's all about. You know, you're never too old. You're never too anything to help, you know, for the Lord to use you. The day you die, it's over. So we have time. I got a few years left. Jim's got a few years left. You know, and we're just a couple of dumb bunnies. You know, what do we know? We don't know a whole lot. You know, I can't chapter and verse a lot of stuff out of the Bible. But, you know, God can use us. We get questions. Some of the do you all have any more questions? Have any questions?
Hey, just a comment.
Yeah.
When Bill Glass Ministries was here a few years ago, went up to the Rowan, very minimum security type prison. There's a mindset about these guys that this reentry program is really important for them. The first thing that I learned was one of the speakers asked, "How many of you guys are here on the installment program?" And a bunch of them raised their hands. That meant they just kept coming in and out of prison on a regular basis.
Yeah, right.
The other one is a guy I had lunch with, about to get out in a couple of months. Wanted to get married, already had a kid. And he wanted to get a job. So Bill Glass does have a program to try to get these guys hooked up with meaningful jobs. But his mindset was, and he was in there for selling drugs, is that he couldn't take a minimum wage job. That wouldn't support his family. So if he couldn't get a decent paying job, he'd have to go back and sell drugs. And I looked at him and I said, now think about that a second. You get busted for selling drugs, you're back in prison. How are you going to support your family? It was like, I never thought of that. So the reentry thing is really, really important.
It's very important. It's very important. And the longer they're in prison, the more that mindset has been removed from just the regular society. One of the questions I get asked a lot is, I don't have time for this. I've got grandkids, I've got this going on, I got church things going on, I sing in the choir, I do this, I do that. But I want to tell you that you have time to do what God calls you to do. Now, you might not have time to do what other people want you to do, or what you think you need to do, or other things that are going on in your life. I think what we all need to do, and I'm speaking to myself as well, is we need to pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do I need to realign my priorities in my life? I'll bet there's probably stuff, I know there's stuff I'm doing, there's stuff we're all doing that really we don't need to be doing. But we do have time to do what God calls us to do. And is it scary to step forward? Yeah, it is. It's scary. It is. But you know, the Lord provides you with what you need for what he's called you to do. And once you put your foot in the water, you know, the Jordan will part. The Lord takes you one step at a time. It took us 3 years to get to where we are now. And we just take one step at a time. The Lord's not in a hurry. We're in a hurry, all of us. We're always in a hurry, but the Lord's not. And he'll take you one step at a time.
I just wanted to emphasize that very thing, that it is one step at a time, that one life at a time, and one person at a time. It reminds me of a story. I don't know whether you've ever been on a beach. We used to live on down in Florida, and if you get on a beach after a hurricane, the beach is just absolutely cluttered with all sorts of seaweed and other marine life. And it reminds me of a story of a young man with his young son, 6 or 7 year old son, walking along the beach after a hurricane, and the beach for miles was littered with various forms of fish and starfish and other things. And the little boy said to his dad, Dad, look at this. A lot of these fish are still alive, these starfish. And his dad says, son, forget it. There's 2 miles of beach here. The problem, the beach is so cluttered, the problem is overwhelming. You're not going to make a difference trying to save any of them. And so they walked on a little bit further, and then the boy picked up one of the starfish and threw it off into the water and said, I made a difference in his life. And then he picked up another one. I made a difference in his life. It's just one at a time. That's all it is. We aren't asking everybody to solve world hunger here and to handle all the world's problems, because they will be here forever until the world ends. But you can have an impact on one life at a time. My time in the jail is a little bit different than Patty's, since I don't actually do a regular Bible study, but I've got a pass, a card that just kind of swipes all of the readers in the jail, and it opens up all of these steel doors here, and I can wander around in there on all 6 floors into various pods. A lot of times I'm up there with eyeglasses that are donated, reading glasses for the inmates because they need them. I do pass out Bibles, and a lot of you have donated books for weeks and weeks that were down in the lobby that we took to the jail. And when the inmates request books or Bibles or various things like that, I go through and pull out selected books, just expecting the Lord to use that book to that inmate at that time as what he needs. And so I do that. So the other thing that I do a lot of times, that I find out that the officers that are on each one of the floors and at the desks and everything up there are just as needy as the inmates. A lot of times I'm walking around there and they ask questions, you know, why is this and why that? Why did they change the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday and everything? And so we have little impromptu Bible studies in the hallways outside the pods a lot of times with the officers. So these guys are just as needy as the inmates. There's a number of people that are currently or have been at Christ Covenant that are in prison and jail right now. A lot of times I get requests from parents and from friends that they say, I've got somebody in Jail North, which is on the video, or Central, and then I go up and I see them and have a talk with them and see what's going on in their life and while they're there. And a lot of people from this church are familiar with that. It's just they have people in there. So it's quite a interesting phenomenon when you look at it. All of us could have been or still might be potential inmates. In that matter, one little mistake, one accident, one thing, and all of a sudden your life has changed forever. So these men and women really do have a need for us. As you said, just finding a job. Patty mentioned change choices, but also second helping. There's other people in here. Ruth Christ, the owner of Ruth Chris, he's an ex-felon too. He's spent time in prison, and he hires inmates. Jim Noble, who runs the Noble's restaurant, he also has a restaurant uptown called King's kitchen, and he hires nothing but inmates there. That's ex-inmates. So there are some business people around town that are sensitive to this issue, and it's good to know, and it's our community, and we're in the middle of it in, at Christ Covenant. So any questions, anything else that we need to ask Patty and I? Well, then I guess we can just close it. So, Father, I just want to pray real quick and thank you so much for all that you do and for your mercy and for giving us a guideline for our life in Micah 6:8 that we've been talking about. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. What a command. What a wonderful thing that we can rely on you to do what you do. That it's not our doing, it's not our responsibility. Only thing we have to do is walk humbly with you and see what you are doing, what great things you are doing. And we thank you for this opportunity and this blessing. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.